if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the living word, living love, and living light of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, We Are Wayshowers of a New Way of Life, one of cooperation, sharing, and co-creativity that benefits all life. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward, integrating your higher divine principles and wedding them with your human personality. Just have a sense that you're pouring yourself as golden divine nectar into every cell of your being, all of your subtle bodies, all of the levels in which you manifest your supreme being and becoming. Let them all be filled with the golden nectar of your divine perfection. Not a perfection that you need to do anything about, but remember and identify only with that. So to clear your mind and to spiritualize it is very simple. We chant HU, which reflects that part of you that is one with the Supreme Creator. One with the living love, the living word of the sound currents, and the living light. So let's take a deep breath together. You. You. Pay attention as that higher part of yourself integrates with your human biosphere. You may feel chills and heat, a tingling in the body. You may feel an expansion of your heart. You may feel like suddenly your mind is very clear and still. All of these things indicate that that which is greater than your human self has been called forward and is now occupying your physical vehicle. Identify daily with that part of you that has never left the heart of God. That is the indivisible, supreme, absolute. That is existence, ever-expanding awareness, and sheer bliss. Because that is who and what you are, and that is your normal state. And anything other than that could be considered abnormal, truly speaking. Our nature is peace, joy, expansive creative intelligence. We are meant to live an inspired life. So have you ever thought of yourself as a way shower? As one that is showing a way of life? In what ways are you showing a new way of living? Revealing a new civilization that's being birthed through you and me and all light workers. A new paradigm. If you are conscious of being a way shower, then the many ways that you are exemplifying this new consciousness will be immediately apparent to you. And if not, why not take this opportunity to awaken your dormant awareness of your way-showing status right now? So one of the major shifts that characterizes this emerging new consciousness, this new paradigm that will birth a new, entirely new civilization on this planet, is the emphasis upon the greater well-being of the whole rather than its parts. It is the realization that we all rise or fall as a civilization, as a nation, as a people, together. That we are all co-participants in what defines our present and determines our future. We're co-participants in what is going to happen tomorrow on this planet, as well as what is transpiring right now, and as well as what has been our historical past. In no way have we not been a participant in every single event that has occurred on this planet. Why? Because we are expressions of the one consciousness of the all that is, the Supreme Creator, the one who became the many, so that the enjoyment of awakening to the oneness could be experienced. And in that awakening, the giving forth and sharing of love. So as light workers and visionaries, we are the real leaders of today. And we are the torchbearers, lighting the way, as well as sounding forth the clear directives. We are the messengers, the vision carriers, and way walkers on Earth today. We, every single one of us, volunteered for this mission, and this is our watch. So we're always showing a way. Even in our gross errors and mistakes, we are showing the way out of our dilemmas, out of our challenges, out of our errors, out of our problems, out of our addictions, out of our weakness, and the developing and way showing of the strength that arises from that. So no matter what we do, we are showing a way, either a way that we find has worked for us or a way that we've discovered doesn't work for us. And that's what we're here to share. So at any point in that journey, you're a way shower. Yeah, no matter where you find yourself today, you are a way shower. So have you awakened to the fact that everything you say and do or don't say or do. He's showing a way to others. I think this idea came into my mind when I was really young. I can remember sitting in school one day, it was the first grade, and realizing, oh my gosh, I have to enact the right way to live so that others can learn. Now, why I thought I knew the right way to live, I don't know. It came in. It's one of those things that occurs to you as you awaken. And it occurred to me that I was a way shower, that I had to enact the right way to live. Now, not that I've always done that, mind you, because like everyone else, we have to demonstrate how to work with polarity and duality and the different states in which we find ourselves dancing. You know, we're not a one-note orchestra here. We have to learn how to dance in all of the rhythms and harmonies and dissonances of life. But do it in a way in which we create order and beauty in our passage. So no matter how many times you fall on your face, you find a way to elegantly utilize that as a teaching demonstration in which you are showing a way. So whether we wish to be or not, we are way showers. And our speech and behavior influences those around us. So the greater our spiritual development, the greater our influence. Just look at what a major way shower Jesus did in only 3 years of outer ministry. He had the power to influence the entire Western civilization. And we even record history itself in terms of before and after his advent. Now that's a powerful way shower. So really, we are simply continuing the work that he inspired 2,000 years ago. And Jesus is still with us, as he promised he'd be, until the end of this age. Because Jesus, the Master Jesus, is one of the masters currently physically living in our outer modern world, in a physical body. And he is currently joined by many of those who were his apostles 2,000 years ago, ones today that we would recognize as members of our planetary hierarchy. They are known as the Masters M, K, H, R, P, H, D, K, and others. They go by their initials generally, because when you say their name, you draw on their essence. That's why we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain, because it pulls unnecessarily on them. So there are many other masters, both known and unknown, that are currently living in our outer world today, in cities, major cities in the planet. I've spoken of this in other seminars, so I won't go into the specifics today because that's not our focus. But by around the year 2020, there will be an estimated 40 or so perfected masters living openly in our outer world, and their ashrams and centers of initiation and ascension will be dotting the planet and known to all. So the important thing to note here is that we are all co-workers of these masters, every single one of us, whether we're here on Earth assignment from another planet, operating through the agency of another hierarchy of that planet that we've come from. When you enter planet Earth, you come under the jurisdiction of Shambhala and the Lord of the World, Sanat Kumara. And so you come under the jurisdiction of the planetary logos, and those masters of wisdom that step down the divine plan for this planet and this solar system at this point. So the perfected masters living openly in our outer world all work with humanity through telepathic inspiration. They're able to impress at a soul level or a mental level those who are capable of responding. And everyone who is in touch with their higher spiritual self, there's the soul or the high self, is able to receive these impressions, which gradually lead us into being way showers, because we begin to get the vision and the, should we say, the ongoing telepathic impression of the divine plan. And the divine plan for this planet at this time is to move it from a population one planet, which is in cosmic isolation due to its belligerency, into a population two planetary system, which is able to have open exchange and interaction and communication with more advanced worlds. So you see, more advanced worlds cannot enter our arena and influence us directly as a people until we lose that tendency of belligerency, of hatred, of killing and warring, where we still have an attachment to violence. To enter such a civilization and impart something greater, greater technology, greater awareness, even greater spiritual understanding, would be in violation of the cosmic law, which is not to give power to those who still have violence as part of their nature. So, the outer world and the events in the outer world are the working out of the divine plan to bring our planet into the birth of the new Earth or the fifth dimension or the fifth world, or in terms of the Earth, for the Earth to go through the third degree of initiation, which would wed this planet with her soul as one, just as many of you are doing at this time. So we are within the aura of the planetary logos, Sanat Kumara, within the aura of Shambhala, within the aura of the heart of God, which is known esoterically as the hierarchy. And the hierarchy consists of all of us, from the very beginning aspirants all the way up to the great Lord himself, who stands at the lofty level of the seventh degree of initiation, and the avatar, which is higher even than that. But we all find ourselves in gradated circles within his aura of influence. And the energy that is now impacting humanity is the energy that is called in Shambhala the will to good, and it manifests within humanity as goodwill. That is the energy of transformation, goodwill. When we will the good, the highest good for everyone, not just a few. So that is the way of all advanced adepts, be they of this world or of higher celestial origins. That's how they operate, telepathically, not directly. They will not come and tell you what to do, ever. They will influence you through their disciples working in the world, such as myself. They will influence you by their co-workers. which is you and me and everyone that chooses to be that. So there's an ever-ascending lineage of elder brothers and sisters who've gone before, who have perfected the things of this world and the human nature. And we are all linked and connected in an ascending, ever-ascending, transcending order as we move into greater light, greater revelation, greater clarity. We're all traveling united as one family of light. We can't get lost. We're all roped in together like mountain climbers. So the masters of this and all planetary nations are the executives facilitating the flow of the divine light, color, and sound currents throughout creation. They wield the energies that enable certain specific things to precipitate and manifest. But whatever happens on the physical planet has to be through human hands and feet, human effort. They inspire, but you and I have to do the work. We are the facilitators of how this new civilization is going to manifest. And it starts with our own transformation. If we don't have a transformed life, an open mind, a transformed heart, a real passion to see goodness eventuate for everyone. So if we don't have that, we're out of sync with the divine plan. And we're not of that great a use to the masters. We have to get over ourselves. We have to get over our small, petty self with its self-fascination. So we're always way showers, bridging the past to the future, because we're learning how to transcend time, which is a limitation born of human identity within the brain. Beyond time-bound thinking, which holds us captive to the past, is boundless awareness, which transcends time. And you experience awareness every time you lose sight of your body, every time you forget your personal self and its history and its story and its dramas, whenever you're totally absorbed in what you're doing. You have literally stopped the world. The world is in time. We relate to the world in time bytes or sequence. But you as a divine immortal spirit, exist in eternity beyond time. The world is an interpretation, nothing more. It's an interpretation that we each make of events that have occurred in time that we've experienced, linked to our past history and our future projections. So we all live in a world of our own fabrication. The world is never, whether it's our own or our collective world, it's never ever here and now. So as wayshowers, we demonstrate how to transcend time and thus the old world view, the habits of living that have characterized a world which we now can clearly see is unjust, unfair, unkind, selfish, cruel, and untenable. We can't take this world as it is any further. It will self-destruct. All worlds, when they develop a technology and mind itself to a point that transcends spiritual awareness and the opening of the heart, whenever a civilization or a person does that, they begin the process of self-destruction. So you can't take this selfishness any further without destroying the planet. and your own life in the physical form. So it's time that we stop the world. Which we can do? We can stop time in the world quite easily. How? By catching yourself every time your mind wanders away from here and now. Whenever that happens, you can remind yourself that you don't need to think about that, whatever it is that's not present right now. You can simply say, stop. We are here and now. That was then, this is now. And so we can always handle here and now. We can always deal with what is present. So in this way, we can be the way showers of how to avoid creating stress and its attendant dis-eases. And then when there's something that's needing to be scheduled for the future, fine, you schedule it now, and then you let it go. You're still operating here and now. And if there's something you really cannot do anything about right now, like, for example, in the middle of the night, when many people lose sleep through worry, that is the time to remind yourself, you don't have to think about this now. And release whatever it is that's concerning you into the hands of God, divine light, perfect divine order. Let it go. So wherever you are in your life, whether you're caught in a traffic jam, for example, or you're afraid you're going to be late, affirm that you're always in God's perfect divine timing and order. So that you turn every experience into an opportunity to expand beyond the limitations of time. And it's important to be aware that you're living an eternal life right now. It didn't begin with the body's birth, and it certainly won't end with the body's death. You are a birthless, deathless spiritual being. You take on a form suitable to the planet or dimension you choose to operate in. So your present body is simply your earth suit. That's all. Now you can manifest in any number of forms and dimensions at the same time. And any place along the timeline. In fact, you're doing that right now. But until you integrate more of your universal and personal self, it's best you're not aware of that. Because it can make you unbalanced mentally. That's why there is a time for you to become aware of yourself beyond your physical body. So this is really what multidimensional mastery is all about. And as you keep increasing your mastery skills, you're able to operate in several forms at the same time. And in your subtle bodies. So that you're able to function in your subtle bodies, in the different planes of consciousness, at the same time you're operating in your physical body here. So every master is able to operate in more than one body and has at least one representative aspect, at least one, upon each dimension and realm of consciousness. And this is called divisibility of spirit, when you're able to move in and out of those different aspects or operate concomitantly in them all at the same time. That is what would be a master of the level of the Christ, for example, or an avatar at the level of Sai Baba. So the masters have degrees of omnipresence depending upon the level of initiatory attainment. But a full avatar, such as Rama or Krishna or Buddha or Christ or Sai Baba, is omnipresent and has awakened as the divine presence in every heart. And that fills one with extreme bliss. Every time you're able to expand beyond the personal self, you will experience bliss. So, how are some of the ways that we can implement and embody and show forth this new unitive reality? How could we do that in our daily lives? Well, here are some ideas. Number one, always be kind. Always be kind in your daily interactions with others. It is through our examples of kindness and respect and courtesy that we increase goodwill in the world. Yes, it matters how you treat people that cut you off in traffic. Yes, that has an effect on what's happening on the other side of the world. Number two, live simply and conserve and protect our planetary resources. Avoid excessive consumerism in every area of your life. Hoarding simply reveals a fear of lack. So don't hoard. Don't waste food. Less food we eat, the better our health. So bless whatever it is you consume. And find a way to share so that you contribute to feeding others. Here in the United States, we can certainly do that by participating in contributing something to the, for example, World Vision or Operation Blessing or one of the many, many charitable organizations that Samaritan's Purse that feeds and takes care of people. Number two, don't waste energy. Conserve water, electricity, fuel, the things that you need for your personal care. Minimize the use of things that you can do without. And another area is time. Sai Baba has said that time waste is life waste. So avoid squandering time. Make time serve the goal and the purpose that you've consecrated your life to fulfill. Avoid excessive talking. Sai Baba says that excessive talk is what causes allergies. It also so depletes your energy that you don't have any room to bring in higher levels of consciousness. Silence. If you can't improve on the silence, don't speak. If it isn't true, if it isn't really necessary to say, if it isn't truly helpful, let it go. It's a waste of time. So money is of the energy of active intelligence. When it is not used consciously, it causes great unrest and agitation of the mind and emotions, as we can all see very clearly. So money must be used to promote the highest good of everyone. Live according to your means. Avoid the slavedom of indebtedness. The secret formula, if you want to call it secret, is not really secret at all. It's the secret of security and abundance, however, is to tithe 10% of your gross, save 10%, and live on the rest. That will assure your security and abundance monetarily. It also activates a spiritual principle, because to give is to receive, because they're one and the same action, spiritually speaking. So, taking a position of sharing a portion of our resources to benefit others, and by taking only what you truly need, you're helping in curtailing the rampant greed and envy, not only in our own levels where we're still selfish and self-focused, but in the collective. And this is how we can be a way shower out of these deadly traps of greed and envy and competition, and where a very small few people have wonderful lives and the rest are living in dire poverty. The third way we can implement and embody this new civilization, this new way of life, is to identify and support those in leadership, or wherever they are, who are the way showers, so that you can recognize the new paradigm energies and those individuals who are operating in that new consciousness. Those who exemplify goodwill, compassion, wisdom, the collective well-being, cooperative enterprises, and sharing. Those who demonstrate and promote mutual understanding, unity and justice for all people, regardless of race, religion, culture, gender, or sexual identification. The masters call it unity and diversity. That is how they live, and that is the ideal that we also are encouraged to espouse. Number four, live true to your convictions, your values, and your higher nature. Practice sincerity and straightforwardness, honesty and integrity in all your dealings. Live dharmically. Do your duty and do your best. But always keep your mind open and be flexible, because we know a tiny little fraction of what is to be known. So keep yourself always living in awe, in innocent expectancy. So here are some ways of recognizing the emerging new paradigm and its value system. Number one, unity and diversity. Pluralism, the ecumenical movement. You know, all religions, the ecumenical movement was started by the masters. The women's emancipation was started by the masters. The emancipation of people from slavedom was inspired by the masters. So everything that reveals social justice with equal rights and opportunity for all is part of this new paradigm. Cooperation replacing competition. Sharing replacing inequality of distribution of our very abundant planetary resources. There's no excuse for anyone on the planet going hungry. We have an overabundance of food. It's getting the food to the people, getting rid of the selfishness and the red tape and the nonsense that blocks that food reaching the people who need it. So collectively, as a human community, that is how we need to live, as a human community. Assuring that everyone has access to clean drinking water, adequate wholesome food, shelter, health care, medical services, and education. Those are the basic human rights that we must, as a collective people, assure that everyone has. We can't do it alone. we can only do it as a human community. And these should be provided for everyone without cost. That is the new paradigm. Satya Sai Baba has demonstrated this for many decades through his example and the countless programs and institutions he has founded and inspired. Every day, more and more super specialty hospitals are cropping up in India and other places in the world, where all medical care, all surgeries, advanced surgeries of every kind are being done free of charge. Doctors come in and volunteer their services free of charge. The same thing with food. The same thing with water. He's created all sorts of clean water systems throughout India and his devotees through other places in the world. Shelter. This is a tremendous need right now. Shelter. We've got to find ways to shelter people very economically and simply, free of charge. Education. That is the right of everyone. Millions and millions of children right now are being deprived of education through these stupid wars, these petty little stupid conflicts, generated usually by despotic selfishness. These need to be abolished. So according to the masters, this may surprise you, but the greatest evil on the planet today is contained in commercialism and the market forces. And these have been described by the masters as more dangerous than the atom bomb. And these are the arenas where the greed and selfishness of the few cause the majority of people on this planet to suffer, starve, live in despair, and die in hopeless poverty. That is something that we are being commissioned, challenged, charged to address. Now, some of us that may live in America, may have nice lives, but not abundant lives. We may be living on a limited income. We may be handicapped. We may be elderly. We may be a student in school. We may not have the ability to do a great deal, but we can all do something. We can all do something. We can all practice kindness, compassion, and goodwill in our daily lives. We can all conserve the resources that we use. We can all adopt as many of the green practices as we possibly can to conserve our planet's ecosystems. We can all be more conscious of how we impact our environment. We can all create order and beauty and impeccability in our lives. We can all cease excessive consumerism. We can all discipline ourselves to live according to our means. We can all be responsible in how we use our money. We can all be more aware of what we lend our power and our attention and participation in. And those of you who have strong, healthy young bodies, my gosh, get out there and do more of the Occupy movements. Those are having a tremendous effect. The nonviolent, relentless voice of the people sounded in their collective, gathering together and peacefully, nonviolently, but relentlessly standing for the change in these systems that are so unjust and corrupt and inhumane. Keep doing that. And those of you, we can all, every one of us, contribute at least $10, $20 a month to one of the programs out there that is feeding people and housing people and digging wells and supplying the needful things. We can all do that. You know, if we stop buying stupid stuff like candy and cigarettes and alcohol and things that destroy our health and are absolutely worthless, soda pop, you know, all the nonsense that we put in our bodies, if we just took the money that we save from that alone, think of how much money we would save and we could donate to some worthy cause and be part of millions of people that are addressing present needs. We can all do that. There's no excuse not to. So we all need to face the challenge of global climate change by protecting the environment from further degradation, by doing what we can to improve the air quality, because the air quality in many cities is totally lacking. It's intolerable. It's death-dealing in some cities of the world today. The elimination of all fossil fuels is absolutely mandatory. And the continuing implementation of solar, wind, and earth energies to provide for clean energy. The systems are out there. Many countries are adopting green application now. It's growing in a massive movement. This will, you see, create more job opportunities in clean energy and other non-polluting enterprises. So another area is the increasing of spiritual awareness, which is so vitally important, because one of the problems today is that the technology and the information has outpaced the spiritual development of the mind and the heart. And whenever that occurs, as I said, we self-destruct. So that is exactly what led to the fall and destruction of Atlantis that lies now at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. And that's the same danger that we face today. We're in a similar spiral of old Atlantis. Many of us were embodied in old Atlantis. Atlantis fell about 8,000 years ago, the masters left and went off into the Himalayas, into the spiritual cities and the inner earth and the great mountains throughout the world, the high deserts. And that's why, for the first time in 98,000 years, they are now entering our modern world once again. They will be living openly again in the outer world. But this is the first time since Atlantis. So it shows that we have made some progress, otherwise they would not be externalizing in this particular way. Now, the more advanced star nation elders have so much that they yearn to share with Earth that would transform our quality of life into paradise overnight. But they cannot give it as long as we cherish hatred. As long as we have these belligerent ways, we have to cease hating and warring and killing and violent behavior towards one another before such advanced technology can be entrusted to us. To give advanced information and technology to a planetary civilization known to be violent would constitute a spiritual crime and violate universal law. And that's why the great masters, the masters of the Ashtar Command, for example, and other advanced beings cannot land on the Earth as long as we cherish this belligerent nature, this belligerent, I would say, way that we have of dealing with each other and life. We have to stop killing. I remember the days when you used to hear the sounds of insects at night. When it would rain, the ground would be covered with little tiny frogs. When there were snails and slugs and butterflies and lightning bugs. Where have they gone? Where are the big bumblebees and the little moths that used to fly? Where are they? We want to kill. Why do we want to kill? It's that atavistic, bestial, negative nature that somehow has infected our humanity, our heart, our love, our kinship with life. Don't kill anything. Everything has God within it. Everything has a purpose, a dharma, a function in the chain of life. Learn to live harmlessly upon this planet if you want to be part of the new paradigm. If you want to be trusted with greater awareness, greater knowledge, if you want the secret of higher inventions to be entrusted to you, have a pure heart, a heart filled with loving, caring, and goodwill towards all life forms. Feel a kinship with all life. Notice how everything that exists, every heart is beat by the one life force. Everything is being breathed by the one divine spirit. So know that the transformation must take place in your own heart and mind. You can't give what you don't have. You can't awaken what you've not awakened to. You can't awaken in others what you have not awakened to yourself. And then this must spread to one's family and arenas of influence, one's job, one's daily arena of activity and exchange. And then from each individual, this will create a rippling effect throughout the collective. So we've come a long way, and the masters are certain that the heart of humanity is sound and that it is responding to this higher calling. Evil momentums are self-imploding, and their power sources are depleted and dwindling. And despite the news to the contrary, a new world is gradually emerging. And the global wayshowers are exponentially increasing in number by the day. So we are to participate in whichever field of endeavor our interests, talents, and abilities fit us for. But it must be right livelihood. It must be in an occupation that causes harm to no one. So obviously, you're not going to build atom bombs. You're not going to build military armaments. You're not going to produce drugs that poison and kill. You're not going to be involved in any kind of bioengineering that mixes the divine DNA and codes of life. That's how you got into trouble in Atlantis. Don't go there. Don't even think of cloning. Don't even think of mixing DNA. Stop it. That's what caused the fall of Atlantis. The adulteration and mixing of disparate elements. Stop tampering with a cosmos of which you have no knowledge, you scientists. Sai Baba said that the very universe is set with certain anchor points that scientists now are in danger of tampering with and causing a massive destruction. Stop it. Godless science benefits no one. So consider carefully what you are lending your energy and support to before you accept a job. Don't sell yourself to support that which is going to cause the downfall of anything or anyone. Refuse to lend your energy for any reason to those occupations that cause harm to human or other life forms. don't work for a manufacturer that produces pesticides, as an example. So money acquired through wrong forms of livelihood will taint the very food purchased therewith. It will destroy one's health and spoil one's character. That's how important right livelihood is, how you make your money. Creates ultimately your mind and its thoughts, which then prompt your behavior. So right livelihood is that important to our well-being, as another way we can participate in co-creating this new civilization and way of life. The more developed spiritually the consciousness, the more refined its expression, and the more beauty and order it creates in its environment and in the world. New living spaces, new hubs of habitation will replace the present polluted and congested cities. New city designs. You're seeing a lot of them coming forward now. Just magnificent things. New forms of transportation, non-polluting, will replace the current traffic gridlocks and pollution. You're finding many, many cities in Europe are banning cars and creating walking spaces. They're doing that here in America, too, in some of the cities, where people take bicycles and they have more walkways. And that's going to increase. More parks. More areas where we have, where we grow food. There shouldn't be any wasted areas where we don't cultivate something that people can pick and eat for free, that we can share. We can all do something along that line. Coarse and bestial and cruel sports and entertainment will completely fall away to be replaced by uplifting events which highlight human creative excellence and expression. These old, ugly, demeaning pastimes that waste time and energy and intelligence will just fall away. They'll become so obsolete as we keep progressing into the energies of this new paradigm. As each day we ask the all that is with all our heart to be used as an instrument to bring transformation and beauty and goodness, and kindness, peace to this planet. That everything we do could enhance the well-being and the happiness of those who share our life. That's how you live as a real wayshower. That is the example that people remember in history, the history to be. They will be telling your stories as the transformers of these times, as the wayshowers, as the ambassadors who came from higher worlds to birth the earth to a new golden age. So I hope this has been inspiring to you. I hope this will light a fire, a divine fire of holy love within your hearts, that your whole body could become one conflagration of divine benefaction. Let the fire of goodwill inspire everything you say, think, and do, because you are the blessing that God has sent into this world to show forth His way as His way showers. Let's go out chanting on IQ. Deep breath. blessings and grace to each one of you. You are loved, you are blessed, because you are divine. Adonai.